listening to Bob Harden, streaming live online at bobharden.com.
Thanks so much for joining us here on the show. It's brought to you in part by Florida Weekly, your complimentary copy, available at hundreds of locations throughout the Paradise Coast, as well as Lulu Bee's Grill. For a terrific breakfast or lunch, including the 3-2-1 special, that's three pieces of bacon, two eggs, and a piece of toast for $3.21 at Lulu Bee's Grill at the Marketplace at Pelican Bay. We have with us Larry Reed, is the president of the Foundation for Economic Education. Larry, thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, it's always a pleasure, Bob.
Thank you, Larry. Well, we're going to cover some of the progressive cliches, and if there's one that really stands out, it's, I have a right. Maybe you can tell us. This is first came out in 1994 by Charles W. Baird. Maybe you can tell us about it.
Okay, yeah. So we've reprinted it now as part of a series that appears every Friday at fee.org. The series is called Clichés of Progressivism, and the most recent one from last Friday is this, I Have a Right. And, you know, this is an age when almost everything that anybody wants, somebody will claim as a right, whether it's big things like health care or college education or even smaller things like the right to food. And it really confuses the concept of rights and trivializes it. It confuses it with mere wants or desires. And the essay that we're referring to this morning talks about the real nature of rights. Rights are something that are inherent in all of us, such that whenever you exercise that right, it doesn't inherently deprive me of doing the same. Like freedom of speech, that's in almost all circumstances, that's a human right. You can say what you want without depriving me of the right to do the same. But when it comes to things like right to material things, rights to food or to health care, what that translates into is, you know, because I want it, I have a right to have you compelled to provide it to me if I can't secure it on my own. And that, of course, means that your alleged right can only be satisfied by depriving someone else of his right, and so therefore it cannot be an essential human right.
Right. I mean, our founding fathers really thought this through, didn't they? I mean, it's just an unbelievable. The Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of the United States are just amazing documents, only because of the forethought that went into designing our system of government.
Oh, that's right. Our founding fathers had a clear vision of what rights constituted. They had given this a lot of thought over, in many cases, many decades before the writing of the Declaration of Independence. And so you'll see throughout the Declaration and later in the Constitution, the notion of rights is truly something that's universal, something that all people have and that each of us can exercise without compelling someone else to provide something for us. When it comes to, say, right to a job, you know, you won't find that anywhere in any of the documents of the founders. They would say, well, you have a right to seek a job. You have a right to offer one. You have a right to sign a contract for one. You have a right to leave one, provided you don't breach a contract. But you have no right to compel someone else to provide you with one, because to do so would deprive that other person of the right of association and the right of freedom to do his business.
Right. And put a different spin on it. I had dinner with some friends on Friday evening, I believe it was, and we got into the discussion about poor kids in New York and the thought processes that he was conveying. And I certainly think he's coming from the right places, that we need to do better in terms of providing education for kids in New York. Otherwise, there'll be a continuing drain on our economy, and it costs us so much and so forth. But, you know, in my view, isn't the rightful place for solving those types of problems is through charitable organizations and through not through government programs, as I guess is what I'm getting at.
That's right. The way to solve those problems is to engage in personal initiative or private charity. There's no automatic duty of government to provide good things to people. I mean, my gosh, the list of good things that people might want is endless. And just because they are good and people want them doesn't automatically mean that they have to be provided through the use of force, which is essentially what government's all about. And it's a cop-out as well for people to think that, I really want this to be done, but I think I'll call the politicians and ask them to do it because I haven't got time myself. I mean, America, if anything, has shown the world that good things can happen in great abundance when people take personal initiative. They really, in most cases, don't need to call in the government and have their money laundered through some distant bureaucracy that then spits back some portion of it, and so that we think we've gotten something for nothing.
Absolutely. And so the term negative rights, then, it simply means that we have rights that have place no burden on another human being or another human being's property. Those negative rights are things like freedom of religion, freedom of association, freedom of speech. The positive, quote-unquote, rights are the ones that are made up or manufactured or fabricated by the progressive movement, rights like rights to health care.
That's right. And those fabricated rights are almost always designed to expand government and to expand the use of political force in society, to suit somebody's vision of what all of us ought to do or ought to have. But to travel down that path is very dangerous because, again, the list of things that somebody wants is just endless. And if you're going to start enshrining those as rights, then it becomes a free-for-all. Everybody's claiming something that belongs to somebody else because they want it.
Yeah, and right now, in many cases, for example, solving the problems of education and poverty in New York City, in many cases, the problems are created by the government and government types of programs. So it ends up that we're trying to solve the problems by the people who created it, or the organization, the bureaucracy that created it.
Oh, that's so right, Bob. Progressives, one of their hallmarks is that they never deal with the fundamentals. They just start with a perceived problem and never ask, might there have been something we did through government before that contributed or caused the problem? Well, we don't care about that. Let's just start with the problem, and we'll have more government to try to fix it. So intervention A leads to bad consequences, which then leads to intervention B, and then that has bad effects, so then they intervene again with C. The problem is, they're not dealing with the fundamentals and fixing the problem at its source.
So I think the appropriate question is yes, the problem exists. A good question to ask is, how can we solve this through the private sector and not rely on government?
That's right, because after all, there are a lot of reasons for that. But one is, the government at the federal level is already $17 trillion in the red. At what point do we start to say, look, you know, maybe the federal government could be helpful in some way, but hey, it hasn't got the money.
Right.
But instead, we just keep piling on duties and on the federal government as if these things are free and that we can just have an endlessly rising debt. We're not getting any of this stuff free when it comes from the government. It's our own money coming back at us, minus a very hefty bureaucratic brokerage fee.
Which is a political currency. Larry Reed, again, the president of the Foundation for Economic Education. I encourage you to visit the very robust website, FEE.org, Foundation for Economic Education, the acronym FEE.org. Larry, always a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Bob. It was my pleasure.
All right. That's a wrap here on today's show. Thank you so much for joining us. Tomorrow, we're going to visit with Kathleen Pasadomo, our state representative. We'll also visit with Jim McTagg. He's Barron's Washington Bureau Chief. We'll visit with Boo Mortensen and Sharon Kenny, the author of Where Should We Eat? I hope you make it a great day on the Paradise Coast or wherever you are. Namaste.
Thanks for listening to The Bob Harden Show on the Bob Harden Broadcasting Network. For more information or requests and for audio files of previous shows, www.bobharden.com.